there were certain boxes that I wanted to check. One was to not have extra cooking time and for my meal to be good. And I think that people deprioritize that because it just feels like it's a hard thing to prioritize and to make good on. But the truth is, that's the piece of it that's going to keep your motivation for cooking. When you start to deprioritize that and you're like, okay, I'm going to make dinner at 5 and I don't want to cook multiple meals. So the dinner I make for my 5-year-old is what I'm going to eat too. Then you're eating something you're not excited about eating, and then it's cold on top of it.
Welcome to Didn't I Just Feed You?
A podcast about feeding kids.
Hey, this is Stacy.
And this is Megan. This month, we're doing our best to give you some time back in the kitchen. And today's episode is admittedly a little bit of a tricky one because we're talking about how to make multiple dinner times work.
Yeah, you know, I can't even tell you how many times we've been asked this. I don't know if it's that it's spring sports season, or maybe like me, you have older kids who are doing their own thing after school, or maybe they even have part-time jobs in the evenings. I mean, it's also when you have young kids and your little one is hungry at like 4:30. Some people need to be fed at right at 5 o'clock, while the adults, or maybe if you have younger and older kids, the older kids want to eat later because they have sports practices. It's hard to time. And since this month we're talking about time, how do you do this when this is a necessity of the season of parenting you're in?
Yeah.
Without that eating up all of your time, or dinner being
right,
like,
or cooking two dinners.
And
something you said reminded me, maybe it was specific to the little kid thing, of the season of life where two busy working parents, bedtime for the kids was like 7:30.
Yeah.
So I was definitely feeding them dinner as close to 5 o'clock as possible. And then Brian wasn't even getting home until their bedtime some nights. And so we really were having two separate meals.
Yeah.
And we now spring soccer season, man. It's like the soccer practice is always right at the most ideal dinner time. And what do you do? Like, not everyone's at practice. So like, do we eat separately while dinner's hot and they eat when they get home? There's no way you can win.
There's a lot. And I will tell you that the one thing that has made me happy this year, Oliver, they both play flag football, but that's a short season at the beginning of the year. Oliver used to switch to baseball in spring, and Isaac would stick with basketball. And so we would run into exactly that problem. Or sometimes their practices would be at totally different days. So like one of them would be home alone while we were out watching a game or a practice or schlepping, or like, you know, Mike is still at work and I'm schlepping. And, you know, kids like, I'm hungry, I'm ready. Like, they want to eat. They don't want to hang around and wait until like 8 o'clock when you finally get home. So yeah, it can be tough. I'm very thankful that both my boys are at basketball this year. So like, we'll be slightly more in sync.
Yeah.
But it eats up a lot of time, not just the cooking multiple things or maybe cooking one thing, but having to cook it earlier than might feel comfortable for your work schedule. And then maybe even having to reheat, that can take up extra time. But it takes extra time and mental load planning the meals. Because you're like, what works for this season?
I have to tell you, I might die. That's so traumatic. I am a Scorpio, after all. Let me pull that card. I don't know how I would survive spring sports season and just spring season in general. Like, even if you're not doing sports, there's so many like class activities, and there's chorus concerts, and there's book fair days. It's insane. And I do not know what I would do without meal planning every week.
Oh, 100%.
And this is like this really is one of the many reasons that you and I created our audio course, Meal Planning for Everyone. We get asked a lot about, how do I make multiple dinner times work? How do I cook dinner faster?
Yeah,
and it all, totally. Like, a lot of it boils down to taking some time to plan ahead. And it does more than save you time, but it also saves you money and it saves you mental load. Like, meal plan, meal plan, meal plan.
I mean, yeah, we're getting bossy about meal planning this year. It really is such a major factor. It can be the answer to so many things. And I think that people know that. Do you guys know that out there? But I think a lot of people who know and accept that as a truth are like, yeah, but it hasn't worked for me before. So stop. Like, that's not how my brain works, or that's not how my schedule works, or I just hate doing it. And like, we get that. So if you've tried meal planning before and it just hasn't stuck for whatever reason, or maybe you haven't even bothered because you're sure it won't stick, we promise that this course isn't a one size fits all solution that, you know, doesn't actually work for everyone. Because what we do over the course of 12 audio lessons is we help you create a system that's customized to you and your family and how you work and all of that good stuff. So Meal Planning for Everyone has these 12 audio courses. It also has advice from guest experts like Artie Sequeira and Kelsey Nixon. Plus, you get lifetime access to our meal planning message boards in the Didn't I Just Feed You community. We should find a way, actually, to pull up some of what people have been saying about it, because it's really making a difference in people's lives. And, you know, with this message boards and Megan and I being there, even if you try one system that you create when you first listen to the audio course, you know, now, and it works great, and then 6 months from now or a
summer
year
break,
from now,
and you spring, right? The sports season has, yes, changed. You need something different.
Suddenly it isn't working and you don't know exactly how to pivot. You have all the audio courses. You have all our past episodes on meal planning at your fingertips. You have me and Megan there. You have all the other people who've been taking the course to be like, like, this piece isn't working anymore. Like, how can I reframe or pivot? And we'll help you do it. So meal planning is a huge answer to this question of how do I make multiple dinner times work?
I also have big thoughts, but I want to make sure people know that they can just go to didntijustfeedyou.com/meal planning for everyone to join at any time. And then you get lifetime access to the audio course as well as the community meal planning boards.
Yes. Good thought to tell them where to,
yes,
get it.
Okay.
Okay. But now I'm so excited to talk about how do I make multiple dinner times work.
I think it's like a three-part thing.
Okay.
This is where my categories might hurt us. But I think it's like...
No, they don't hurt. Everybody's like, we can move on from it, Megan. I think, we all love your categories. I will never make fun of you again.
I think it's three categories. I think it's slow cooker / Instant Pot. I think it's things that are easy to either reheat, or it's build your own meals. I think I put those in two categories and we can talk about why. Or it's some form of a yo-yo dinner, which we have a whole episode of about yo-yo dinners, but it's sort of this idea of like, you're on your own. Maybe it's sandwich stuff and you're like, hey, there's sandwich stuff in the fridge. You feed yourself when you're back from flag football practice.
Okay. So I have two other categories that maybe you imagine fit with the nest within the three categories that you've already mentioned.
Okay.
One is deconstructible meals. Does that...
That's what I think of as build your own. Like, I think of tostadas as something where you might make one component of it, like some ground beef or some beans that are seasoned. But essentially, everyone's going to build their own when they get home, when they're ready to eat.
Okay. So I'm going to call it deconstructed just because I want to be inclusive of the younger, like, okay, families with, yes, younger kids. Like, a four-year-old isn't going to build their own tostada.
Fair.
But I think it's a great meal idea. So, okay. Deconstructible / build your own.
Great.
And cook once, eat twice. And again, ooh, it's funny that I'm thinking about the littles. I think because that's the season for me that I most associate with having dinner, different dinner times.
Okay. So wait, can we start there? Because I'm very...
Yes, let's.
Intrigued by this. Are you saying, let's say you are a busy mom and you have toddlers or preschoolers, are you implying that you're going to cook dinner on Tuesday night for the grown-ups and make enough leftovers to feed the little kids at their separate dinner time on like Wednesday and Thursday?
Yes.
Okay.
That's totally what I'm saying. And that the concept cook once, eat twice also lends itself to just starting without doing any additional cooking sessions. You're starting to build an arsenal of ingredients that can create a meal over the course of the week. So you make rice. Maybe you're even making rice. You know, it's not going to always work out perfectly. What you laid out is the core of it, right? It's like leftovers. But your little one who eats earlier in the night than the older kids or the grownups eats what you eat the next day. So they basically eat the leftovers. And that way you don't have to feel stressed about getting in the kitchen early, like having dinner at 5 o'clock. And then you also don't have to feel that disappointing letdown of you've put in this time to cook a meal and you have to eat it cold or reheated. Some meals are fine that way. We're going to talk about the build your own, right? Where you are reheating stuff. Everybody's doing it at their own pace. But like that can be time consuming to plan around on the regular. So you cook dinner. And again, you know, it has to work for your schedule because maybe it's not feasible to give your kid leftovers, then do bath, then do bed. And then at 7:30, great that your kid's asleep, but like the last thing you want to do is get in the kitchen and make a hot meal for yourself.
But to that end, maybe within cook once, eat twice, you're also utilizing something like building something that's easy to reheat or doing a slow cooker dinner. So when you're making little kid dinner on Monday night, you put a pork roast in the slow cooker.
Exactly.
And that's dinner for adults later, but then it's also intentional leftovers for the rest of the week too.
Totally.
So you're really consolidating cooking time with this technique.
That is the big thing for me. So we already just talked through like three different ways that you could conceptualize or actualize this concept. But yes, like for me, I remember that when there were different cooking times, there were certain things that like there were certain boxes that I wanted to check. One was to not have extra cooking time and for my meal to be good.
Which is honestly the most important thing for all of us.
Yeah. And I think that people deprioritize that because it just feels like it's a hard thing to prioritize and to make good on. But the truth is, that's the piece of it that's going to keep your motivation for cooking. When you start to deprioritize that and you're like, okay, I'm going to make dinner at 5 and I don't want to cook multiple meals. So the dinner I make for my 5-year-old is what I'm going to eat too. Then you're eating something you're not excited about eating.
Or maybe you're eating cold leftovers when you're actually hungry.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. And then you're like, cooking becomes thankless real fast when you get caught into that pattern. So if you can check those two boxes, if you can make meals that are good for you, but that have elements that work for your little one, and those are waiting in the fridge for you, whether they're leftovers or you cook something for them, they can have rice with frozen peas and some of that leftover rotisserie chicken or chicken that you made a night or two nights ago, but you're making the pot of rice fresh. Fine, like that you can reheat for whatever you make for yourself and then make sure you have leftovers for them the next day. So yeah, cook once, eat twice. Again, lots of ways to actualize it. It will really depend on your taste, how much it overlaps with your kids and what your schedule is. But I think that's like a good overall framework to keep in mind.
Can you just real quick give us like 3 examples of meals that are cook once, eat twice, or even components that work for like the younger age group, but also maybe work for your boys now?
Oh, putting me on the spot. I mean, I always start with the hefty piece, like the grains. I think pasta and rice both make great bases for meals that can be really easily adapted for younger kids. Younger kids love pasta, love rice, and then you can make something delicious with it too. And pasta is one of those things that really is, if you know how to cook it properly, and we'll link to how to cook pasta properly ahead of time. You know, it really is one of those things that if you're just going to microwave it and throw a freshly made sauce on top, even if your sauce is delicious, the pasta sometimes doesn't feel up to par. it like doesn't heat through quickly or just doesn't have the same quality. But if you cook it with the proper technique, which is really just about cooking it a little less and then making sure you save some pasta water and toss it thoroughly with the pasta sauce, it can be really delicious. So I would definitely say thinking about how to incorporate pasta and rice. I would say we're going to come up with a lot of ideas and I'll flag them as we go for the slow cooker. And I think that ground meat is another really good one. And ground meat doesn't have to just mean like hamburgers or tacos. There are tons of Middle Eastern meals, Indian meals, yes, Mexican and Tex-Mex, Asian meals. Like you can make Korean rice bowls, beef rice bowls. Again, rice bowls are another great thing. We've already talked about the ground meat. You can make ground meat a little bit more plain. And then when you reheat it at the gochujang, or just add just a little bit of gochujang for your kid and then add more and like hot sauce on top for yourself. And then you have lots of different components that they can eat some of. And you can, you know, you can make spicy quick pickled cucumbers that go on yours and your kid just has sliced cucumbers. But all of those things, ground meat, rice, pasta are like the top things that come to mind and slow cooker meals that come to mind for me where you can cook once, have a good volume of it without having to put a ton of extra time into cooking it and without it being fussy to double the recipe and then just have on hand to pull together meals.
ButcherBox is our secret to better back pocket meals on the fly during busy seasons like spring. They make it easy to choose a box of our family's favorite proteins that get delivered straight to our door. With the freezer stocked with 100% grass-fed beef, free-range organic chicken, pork-raised crate-free, and wild-caught seafood, there's no running to the store for last-minute dinner ingredients. Plus, with free ground beef for life, we know that when meetings or soccer practice run late, we always have a reliable family favorite on hand for a quick dinner with ButcherBox's high-quality meats and a few pantry staples. That's right. ButcherBox is giving our listeners free ground beef for the life of your membership, plus an additional $20 off your first order. Visit butcherbox.com/DIJFY and use code DIJFY to get free ground beef for life, plus $20 off your first box. That's butcherbox.com/DIJFY and code DIJFY, short for Didn't I Just Feed You? Stacey, I don't know about you, but I've been in a major spring cleaning mode, including purging and organizing my closet. I'm putting away winter sweaters and donating things that don't work for me anymore, but I'm so excited to be pulling out some of my favorite items from Quince to put back into rotation.
Totally. I love the pieces that I bought from Quince last year too. And neither of us should really be surprised. We love Quince for their quality. And by partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us.
Which means I can actually add some pieces back to my closet after my spring clear out. I love the linen pants and top I got last season so much, but my next purchase is one of Quince's gorgeous 100% washable silk skirts.
Oh, that's so pretty. And the best part, all Quince items from silk to 14 karat gold are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. That's why I snagged my favorite oversized cashmere boyfriend cardigan from Quince instead of any other brand.
Indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/DIJFY for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/DIJFY, short for Didn't I Just Feed You, to get free shipping and 365-day returns. This episode of Didn't I Just Feed You is sponsored by By Heart. Longtime listeners know that Stacey and I both struggled with infant feeding stages with all our kids. Breastfeeding was hard, and choosing a formula was, well, also hard. We're thrilled to be working with By Heart, an infant nutrition company on a mission to make the best formula in the world. Not only is By Heart an easy-to-digest formula, their formula is also clinically proven for easier digestion, less spit-up, and softer poops versus leading infant formula. By Heart has their own patented protein blend that includes prebiotics and an 80-20 whey to casein ratio, just like an early breast milk, which is tailor-made for a newborn's digestive system. Curious about By Heart? Redeem your welcome offer at byheart.com/podcast with code DIJFY for a limited time. That's buyheart.com/podcast and code DIJFY, short for Didn't I Just Feed You? Additional terms and conditions apply.
Once upon a time, the Greek myths helped us understand the world and our place within it. They still do.
Zeus, we have finished your weapons.
Thunderbolts, just as I saw in my vision.
Whoa, that almost hit me.
Need to improve my aim.
To not hit me, right?
Live from Mount Olympus spins these ancient tales for today's tweens and their grown-ups.
Zeus, king of the gods, command that you listen to Live from Mount Olympus wherever you get your podcasts.
This is sort of adjacent to ground meat. Like what I'm envisioning you're cooking is sort of like crumbled, sauteed ground meat, but also meatballs. If you have the time to put in some effort and you want, you could season them very like strongly in an Italian flavor profile, or you could just season them sort of simply and then they could become like teriyaki meatballs.
Yes.
Or they're red sauce meatballs. Or if you have a picky eater, they become plain meatballs, or maybe they become cheeseburger meatballs and you put cheddar cheese on top of them. That is one protein that if I invest the time in up front to like make a big batch of, cook off and stash in the freezer, pays off all the time.
I love that. You know, meatballs are also a great way to just cook the protein, but then you can slice them and then reheat the slices in a frying pan and you have something that's more like a gyro or a shawarma. You can mash it up with a fork, break it up with a fork and have something that's a little bit more crumbly textured, like if that's something your kids like. Yes, we have a whole episode on meatballs, actually.
We do.
From the very beginning of Didn't I Just Feed You? I haven't listened to it in years, so we might cringe at it, but I know the ideas are on point.
Yes.
Yeah, the ideas are on point because we were very passionate. We are very passionate about meatballs. So I love that suggestion. Yes.
And then the other thing I would add is roasted veggies. I think that seems sort of like fewer possibilities, but it's sort of like what you were saying about grains or pasta. Like if they're cooked, then it's really easy to incorporate them into something else because they're not as long cooking because they're already roasted. Even if it's just peppers and onions, even if it's just whole baked potatoes or whole baked sweet potatoes, you are creating something that's already cooked that's really easy to quickly turn into a delicious and satisfying meal.
I love it. Okay. So I think cook once, eat twice. Well, like we can flag it. I think it's going to pop up even. It's going to cross these categories that you came up with.
Yes.
But let's go back through them.
Okay. I mean, I think now I'm like, oh, you've unlocked this cook once, eat twice as a strategy slash category. And I think it lends itself really easily to talking about slow cooker because when I think cook once, eat twice, I do think about hefty proteins, whether it's something like carnitas or a big batch of black beans, as a way to have a meal that you could eat at 5 o'clock, but someone can also eat at 7 o'clock because it cooks in it, but then it can also stay warm in the Instant Pot or slow cooker.
I think it's great because, especially if you have an Instant Pot or slow cooker that has a keep warm, you can even throw that in the morning and just like have it through the day. And so much of what you can make in it is so flexible. I would even venture to say, ask me how I know, you put something in the morning, you dip into it a little bit at lunchtime for yourself. If you're a work from home person, like maybe pull out a little bit of that pork and toss it with like a salad and a dressing. And then like eat it for dinner in a totally different form in tacos. That works for me, you know, or maybe if you don't want to eat the same protein twice in one day, you could have it for lunch the next day. But it's just such a convenient way to have, like you said, a lot of protein that's ready and waiting and nice and warm and everybody can make it themselves. And you can really adjust the seasoning pretty easily by making it, if you have little ones, by making it really going easy on the flavoring at first and then doctoring the flavor afterwards. That's sort of a deconstructed concept also. Let's think of some quick proteins that you can keep simple. Salsa chicken is the famous one that always comes up. But like even like an enchilada chicken or just a Greek chicken, just yes, like lemon
and oregano,
olive oil, oregano, garlic, salt, pepper.
Mm-hmm. I love and cook probably once a quarter our carnitas recipe. We have slow cooker and Instant Pot directions. So whatever vessel is your preference, it's just so good on its own. And it's great to like turn into quesadillas or to tacos. But it's also not so strongly seasoned that you couldn't turn it into barbecue sandwiches with a little slaw.
And I think almost anything Asian, and this works with pork or beef or chicken, a simple sesame marinade, you know, replicating something like soy vey, which is a really popular one that I know a lot of our listeners like, and I do too, you know, just like sesame oil, little rice wine vinegar, soy sauce, maple syrup. You know, you could put a little chili crisp in there if you have older kids who don't mind a tiny bit of heat.
Or just garlic and ginger. Even. Yeah.
And then that, because the thing about the slow cooker is that the meat is going to release a lot of liquid. You know, you're not going to get from your slow cooking method, you're not going to get a lot of cling from your sauce. It's a little bit more like a looser sauce that you can then reduce afterwards to cling onto the meat and to like, you know, really coat it well. But it's just like a really simple seasoning. So even something like you were saying, salsa or garlic, ginger, soy sauce, whatever, you're not going to get a super strong flavor from the meat. So it really does work for little ones, and it really does work for using it in flexible ways. You can use it just as easily for a Korean recipe as you can a Chinese one.
Yes.
In my opinion.
I want to add Mississippi pot roast because it's one of our most favorite listener favorite recipes that I created when I worked at thekitchen.com. But we've actually adapted it and included it in our new one pot recipe ebook. And it is, again, one of those like it's very easy to turn into other things and adjust to your family's preferences. And then I sort of mentioned it already, but black beans. I think black beans are so good in the slow cooker or the Instant Pot. And they can be black bean and cheese burritos when everyone gets home. They just build their own. Or tostadas. Or you can make a simple black bean soup or black bean chili. It's just a really effective way to cook a bunch of beans and then have it stay warm and everyone can eat at their timing.
I'm glad that you brought up chili because I know if you're listening to this episode right when it publishes, we're moving into springtime. But chilies and soups are really great for the Instant Pot. They're really great for multiple mealtimes. You can make them thinner. You can make them thicker. You can make them with ground chicken so that they feel lighter and more springy. I have a recipe in Winter Winter Chicken Dinner that hopefully I can find a link to. I can never remember if it's published online or not. For a green chicken chili that's really delicious and doesn't feel like a stick to your ribs winter or fall dish. But that's great. Like you just get to throw a bunch of stuff into the Instant Pot or the slow cooker. And you have this big hearty meal, and then all you need on the side is either like chips or rice or bread, something that's really easy that you don't have to make that can sit on the counter and really rounds out the meal and fills everybody up without there having to be like something else that you have to reheat or deal with.
Okay, next, talking about reheating. I think there is a category of things that you can make, let's say you make them at 5 o'clock, but then they can be easily reheated and still be delicious at 7 o'clock, 7:30. Geez, sometimes we get home at 8 even from soccer practice.
Totally.
Mostly I think of casseroles here. Like I think of a hot dish where it's like ground beef and veggies and there's a sauce or a gravy and then there's a little bit of there's tater tots on top of a hot dish. It's just really good out of the oven, but if it sits and it needs to be reheated, it's still really delicious. And something you could prep ahead if you know you have a really busy week and then pop in the oven in the afternoon when you have time or like right when everyone gets home and then eat later if it needs to be reheated. I think of enchiladas as another great way to do that. What are some other casseroles that your family loves.
So it's funny that you started with casseroles, because I was going to say before you launched into this category is actually the hardest for me. And I think it's because I don't really cook casseroles.
Yeah. We've talked about this.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's, I think this is great. I think you're right. I want to hear more casseroles from you because I need inspiration. For me, this category is more about some meal prep and room temperature meals.
Okay.
Like that, pasta salads. So these really work better for me in the spring and summer months. Like when everybody has different plans, spring sports, that kind of thing. You know, it works in fall too and in winter, and it definitely works if you have younger kids. But, you know, thinking about salads, chicken salad, I know you don't love mayo salads.
But that's okay. I get that it works for everybody else.
Yeah. Sandwich night, peanut noodles, sesame noodles, pasta salads, those kinds of things I really like because I'm not big on reheating and I'm not big on casseroles. And I feel like these room temperature meals are really great because I can prep them whenever, even like the night before or on the weekend or early in the day when I have a lunch break, put it in the fridge and then take it out right before we go to practice. If practice is only going to be like an hour or two, it's something quick. Or the first person who comes home and eats
leaves it out,
can take it out of the fridge and then they serve themselves and then they leave it out.
I want to add, our ramen salad is so good for this because you can make it ahead or you can make it and eat it and then let it sit and whoever eats later still gets a delicious meal. And it's funny because as much as I love those type of meals, I sometimes forget that they're an option for these kinds of nights. Oh, a hearty bean salad.
Oh, yes. I love that. So good. So good. I want to go back to sandwiches for a second.
Category queen you right now? I think of sandwiches as a build your own dinner.
Okay.
Although I know that there are sandwiches that you might build in advance and then just everyone has their portion when they come home.
Well, I think of it as like the room temperature. It's not really room temperature, but it's just like organizing. I made a sandwich board recently. And the kids freaking loved it.
It's always a hit.
I just like toss together some slaw, which can be made ahead of time and then sit in the fridge. It's actually better that way. And then like I just took one of my cutting boards that actually fits in my refrigerator and I laid out the deli meat. Because if I were to tell them, go get the deli meat, make yourself a sandwich, which FYI, they're totally old enough to do. And that's a good yo-yo meal. They just won't. So I just laid out the meats and the cheeses, and I took some like romaine lettuce that was pre-washed and chopped it. I sliced a tomato. I sliced onion. I put it all on the board. I put the Italian dressing on the counter. And like when it was time for dinner, I just pulled it out. So I think it's another thing that like the first person home can just pull it out, make themselves a sandwich. And then, you know, as people roll in over the hour, everybody just makes their own. So I think it crosses categories.
No, because it's built your own. It's not a reheat. It's not a reheat or no heat. It is a build your own. But we can move into it because
it is a no heat.
The difference for me is if you make pasta salad, all the person has to do to eat the pasta salad is put it in their bowl. A sandwich, they have to build it themselves, aka
no,
build your own.
I'm not denying your category. I'm seeing some things exist in multiple categories.
Yes.
Is that hard for you?
No, I'm telling you, this is not one of those. Okay, but I don't want this thought to get lost, which is, I love that you have a board that fits in your refrigerator and that, I don't know why, feels incredibly Leo maximalist, bougie, billis, because I would have just done a sheet pan for all of those things. And I haven't done it, but I feel like this is such a great use of those. You know, you see them a lot of times for like crudite, those Tupperware containers where it has separate sections.
Totally.
And people love to use them for like salad toppings. You could use that same thing for creating a sandwich night and you can literally just like pull, the kids can pull it out. Then they're not having to do what you were saying your dudes wouldn't want to do, which is like pulling out all the ingredients. It's like already compiled for them.
It really made a difference.
Yes.
It felt like them. It felt like instead of them being like, and like just barely, you know, doing the bare minimum for themselves, it was like, oh, this is delicious. And it took like maybe 10 minutes of prep. And then even for me, you know, we can hate on teenagers because they make it so easy. But I feel the same way. Like if I get home and especially if I've just worked out, you know, they've had practice, they're tired too. And like you have to go through all the deli meat containers and put it together. You're just like, ah, whatever, like quickest, easiest. But instead you come home and there's this board that has all the options. It actually feels fun and you build yourself a delicious sandwich.
I agree. I think this is where the sort of joke that was running last year about girl dinner comes from, is this idea that like if you even have to get it out, you're not going to do it. And then that's how you end up eating like a string cheese and 40 olives for dinner instead.
Yeah.
We know you're seeing all the Mother's Day gift guides everywhere. And while we usually do some Didn't I Just Feed You version, this year we have the one perfect Mother's Day gift that works for everyone, even our last minute shoppers, MyLifeInABook.com.
MyLifeInABook.com is a unique service that turns the life stories of people you love into a beautiful book. Here's how it works. Every week, MyLifeInABook.com will send your gift recipient a question via email. These can be pre-written questions that they provide, or you can customize the questions the way that I did for my mom. Your recipient can either type her response or use their voice-to-text feature. MyLifeInABook.com compiles all of her responses into a beautiful keepsake book.
I'm really excited to be creating a book with my own mom this year, and I can't wait to hear some of her childhood memories, what it was really like raising three kids as a single mother, and how she's enjoyed becoming a grandmother, too.
And when the book is done, you'll have a beautiful keepsake for her and for you, too. You can even choose to have an audiobook created from the recordings. It's easy to sign up, and the process is automated, so you don't have to worry about missing a week.
Check out MyLifeInABook.com and use code DIJFY at checkout for 10% off. Create an unforgettable gift for your mom this Mother's Day. That's MyLifeInABook.com. Use code DIJFY for 10% off today. Both Stacey and I have shared our own candid experiences with mental health and helping our families deal with their own. We both know firsthand that if you have ADHD, it can be overwhelming to find the right treatment. That's why we're glad to partner with Dunn. In just 1 minute, Dunn's online assessment can help kickstart your ADHD treatment journey. With experienced clinicians, worry-free refills, and online visits, you can start getting personalized care as soon as tomorrow. Take a free 1 minute assessment and book an appointment with a licensed ADHD clinician as soon as the next day. Get continuous care, one-click refills, insurance coverage, and 24/7 care team support with Dunn for just $79 a month and pharmacy copays as low as $0. Unlock your path to better focus now at get.dunnfirst.com/podcast. Dunn, turn ADHD into your strength.
Okay, so I want to talk about more build your own, but since I've clearly moved you to a new category inadvertently.
No, this is the
is
category.
Is there more for rehating? No, but I want
no,
to make sure we
I
close
think,
that out.
I think
casseroles.
Casseroles are the best for reheating, and we don't have a casserole casserole episode, but we should.
Ooh,
let's put
we
it on
should.
Our list.
I also just want to give a shout out to certain things. Can we just list a couple of things that are really good to reheat in the microwave? I mean, we both love our microwaves and we talk about it often, but it's true that some types of dishes reheat better than others.
Right.
So I don't like to reheat pasta in my microwave.
I don't mind if it's sauced. I think everything that we're talking about here, from the hot dish to like a pot pie or, you know, enchiladas, there's a sauce component in it. You run the risk of things getting dry if it's just like plain pasta or plain rice.
Yeah, I actually don't even like sauced pasta. I mean, it's serviceable. It's good. But we're talking about how to make like good meals.
A dinner you want to eat.
For multiple dinner you want to eat. So I just also want to go back to this idea of cook once, eat twice, because a lot of the components that work well for that are also good for the microwave. just think about how you want to pair things together and maybe microwaving the separate components. So bowl meals are really great. Rice reheats really nicely in the microwave. Ground meat reheats much more nicely in the microwave than a protein that was cooked whole and sliced. So reheating, you know, chicken breast or a pork loin that's been sliced is not going to be as good as ground meat that's been cooked.
Or your shredded slow cooker salsa chicken.
That's right. Yep. There you go. So then like reheat the meat, then reheat the rice, and then have a lot of fresh toppings. That works really well for the reheating category outside of casseroles.
Yes.
Okay. Build your own.
Build your own. Which maybe I'll get in some category flag because I want to know how this is different from deconstructed dinners, which I think is a really interesting concept, especially if you have little kids. And it ladders up, right, to cook once, eat twice. Build your own. I automatically think of sandwiches, which we've addressed, and tostadas.
Yeah, same. Totally. And like tacos.
Salads.
Tacos. Salads. I never serve salads as make your own, but it is a good one. And I think it makes a good deconstructed meal too. So the difference to me between deconstructed and build your own, I primarily might be about age.
Yeah, that's okay.
And the idea that when I'm talking about deconstructed, I'm also thinking about how you don't need all of the elements for it to feel like a meal, at least to the child. And so often that means the child is younger. So like a salad is great deconstructed because maybe they just want the chicken that you grilled for on top of the salad and the chopped tomatoes, but they're not going to touch the lettuce or the cucumbers. And they want their dressing on the side as a dip.
I love that.
Right? But it's all the components. And for you, you're going to toss it all together.
Yes.
I don't do a deconstructed salad because my kids like salads.
Right.
And they like salads the way I do. So it's just actually faster and easier for me to toss it all and just not dress it. And then everybody can eat their own when they come in and pour their own dressing on top.
And we have a whole really great episode from last summer about salads and how we serve them to our kids and how to deconstruct them. The kind of prep that we do so that everyone can have a salad that they like and even some of our favorite dressings. So that's a really good listen. If you're here for the first time and you're like, what? I'm not serving my toddler salads. You can, and they're very satisfying for you too. And top of mind, I think of our burger salad as a great option for deconstructed and or build your own because you make essentially little patties that can be easily and quickly reheated. And then you make a really delicious, almost burger adjacent sauce, but it's not the same as making burgers on a weeknight when you're trying to feed multiple people at multiple times. And also our nugget salad is another great one that's like build your own, but also deconstructed if you have little kids.
Yes, totally. I love all of those ideas. We talked about tacos. I think they're similar to tostadas and bowl meals. So we have a whole episode on bowl meals that you should definitely go back and listen to because I think bowl meals could actually become a real pillar of your I'm in a season where I have to make multiple dinner times work life. And the thing to think about bowl meals, it's very easy to think about the things that are typically turned into bowl meals. So, you know, burrito bowls comes to mind. And Buddha bowls come to mind. But you can really kind of take almost anything that you like and turn it into a bowl. If you like...
Why can I only think of burgers? I'm like, you can make a burger bowl.
You can make a burger bowl. If you like chicken shawarma, right? And you normally get that as a platter or as a sandwich, turn it into a bowl with couscous or rice or, I don't know, any grain that you really like. If you really like bibimbap, you know, you don't have to make the whole like crispy rice piece of it. You can just make rice, make that beef, bibimbap beef, like with the thin, thin slices, and then buy some kimchi, marinate some carrots or cucumbers and serve it as like a Korean rice bowl. I don't know. Megan, help me think of something that doesn't have rice as part of the meal, because I want to demonstrate that you can make a bowl out of like nearly any flavor you like Greek chicken and potatoes. Or even like if you love moussaka or you love falafel, those are all things you can get the flavors of. Make rice or make a pilaf. You know, maybe you even make falafel and break it, crumble it up. You know, that's something that can easily be made ahead of time and reheated in the microwave, the falafel itself. Crumble it over rice and make like a quick tahini sauce. And then chopped cucumbers, chopped tomatoes, chopped lettuce. Boom. There you go. Greek chicken and potatoes. Roast some potatoes. Make that the base of your bowl. Or again, like a pilaf or just plain rice. And some lemony shredded chicken that you made in the slow cooker. And make a really lemony vinaigrette with oregano. You know, I think that if you have a protein over an easy to cook once, eat twice, / reheat grain or base, and then a sauce and some fresh chopped veggies that can be prepped and tossed on top without having to reheat it and that don't go soggy or go bad. Or even, you said cook once, eat twice, roast those veggies. Some roasted vegetables can go on top too. Just pull them out already prepped. And like, you can make a bowl meal pretty easily.
Yes. This is also a good example of cross-category cooking too, for lack of a better term. But this idea that you're going to do some component that's like a cook once, eat twice. Maybe it is the grain or the base and the protein. But then we also want to give you the permission slip to incorporate some shortcut things into that bowl meal. So like, you could make a barbecue bowl. You've got some pulled chicken, you're using barbecue sauce, and maybe your base is some roasted veggies, but like, buy a slaw at the grocery store. Like, literally they'll pre-made from the deli section. I'm not even talking about shredded veggies and then you make the dressing. Like, none of that. And that is completing your meal, right? So you've got a veg component. You've got something that's like fresh and delicious. Same thing if you're doing burrito bowls. Like, buy the pre-seasoned beans, even if they're more expensive. Buy the salt, the pre-made salsa or pico and pre-made guac. Because when you are trying to feed multiple people at multiple times and you're already like thinking about the cooking part of it and doing some prep ahead, you might fatigue yourself if then you also have to come to dinner time and prep more of the delicious components. Or you might not do it because you're like, ugh, I'm exhausted by this now. I don't want to make guacamole.
Totally. I love that. Oh my gosh, so many good ideas. I know we pointed to a lot of other episodes. I don't think you need to listen to them. Like, I think we covered the basics here, but if something we said like, oh, I want to like really think about how I can get creative with bowl meals, if you want to dig deeper or like, I do love salads, how can I make it work? Go back and listen to those episodes. We're going to have links to them in the show notes. But before we go, there was one other thought I had. I was thinking about just like timing in general. So we talked about using your slow cooker so you don't have to worry so much with timing because it holds foods and keeps them warm. We've talked about how to reheat effectively and think about meals that are good even when they're reheated. We talked about cook once, eat twice. If you have yet little ones, there's also thinking about when else you're cooking food for yourself and how they can eat that. So I think a lot about, you know, there are certain content creators that make food for younger kids or for families with younger kids. And I have to admit that sometimes what they serve the whole family doesn't actually have super high appeal for me. Although, like, I totally get it. It works for kids and they're good recipes. And they're flavorful. They're also packed with veggies and it's practical. But like, I don't want to eat frittata fingers for dinner. You know what I mean?
I know exactly what you mean, actually.
But I'm happy to eat frittata fingers for my breakfast or to prep it ahead so that there's a good breakfast for me and my teenage boys or my older kids, if you have older kids and some younger kids. Or I'm happy to eat that for myself for lunch, prep it so that I have that for lunch. You know, little kids don't need to eat the same thing that we eat all the time. And you can still keep it flavorful because I know a lot of you guys out there are trying to make sure that you're like expanding their palate and thinking about what they're eating and keeping balance. But like, make something for yourself for breakfast that really nourishes you. And then can that be make extra so that can be the 5 o'clock dinner?
Yeah, it's flipping the idea of like, oh, what do the kids want to eat for dinner?
Yeah.
Onto what do I want to eat for lunch today? That can also be
there you go.
Kid dinner. Listen, I had yo-yo dinners as a category, and I think that this is more a permission slip than a real category because we do have a whole episode on yo-yo dinners and ideas, but this is the idea that it's okay if everyone needs to fend for themselves one or two nights a week, and you can do your due diligence and make sure you have things like canned tuna on hand or sandwich stuff or, frankly, cereal, and you can be like, hey, tonight, everyone's on your own. Eat leftovers or fix yourself a sandwich.
Yeah. And that's, again, for older kids. Like, if you have even younger kids who are not going to be able to make a yo-yo dinner, it's okay to just make them tuna salad. I know that's a little bit of, you know, double cooking. But, like, make tuna salad for yourself for lunchtime and then give them a tuna salad sandwich or tuna salad and baby carrots that you just crack open the bag and serve it to them.
Yes.
Like, that's all. Or maybe you microwave steam them if they need to be soft for your little ones.
Hmm.
So I hope that's helpful because it really can feel like an overwhelming time, an overwhelming season of parenthood. And there are multiple of them.
Yes.
When you have to manage multiple dinner times, it can be really overwhelming. So I hope that this one really is practical and gives you tons of ideas for how to make those seasons a little bit more manageable.
Yes. And if you're feeling lonely in the season, a reminder that they don't last forever and that you can come join our Didn't I Just Feed You listeners boards.
Yes. It is the best place on the internet because you don't just get to hear from us. You get to connect with other cooks who are out there doing the thing and coming up with creative ideas to make it through. So, you know, visit us at didn'tijustfeedyou.com/community. There you can learn about all the options, including how to join our free listeners boards where you're going to get smart shopping lists and meal plan ideas and all that good stuff. You can also learn about our supporting membership where you can get access to that community and so much more. You can also follow us on Didn't I Just Feed You on Instagram. A huge thank you to our producer, Samantha Gatzik. I'm Stacey.
And I'm Megan. Stay sane and well fed. Until next week.
Leave us a rating or review. Make sure to give it 5 stars and leave an epic comment. Do it.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.